You're listening to a Marketplace special on the economics of disability. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. We just heard from listeners about their experiences with disabilities at work. And we want to talk about the legislation that protects people with disabilities in society and at work from discrimination.
The Americans with Disabilities Act, or the ADA, was made federal law in 1990, and it's the primary civil rights law that covers disabled people. In short, it's designed to level the playing field with non-disabled individuals. So explains Leticia André-Doucette, an innovation specialist with the City of Rochester, New York.
So the structure of the law is about making sure that spaces that are accessed by the public, right, are also accessible by those who have some form of disability.
That's the law, but then there's the enforcement.
Either the individual, the disabled individual, has to file a complaint with the Department of Justice or a civil lawsuit. Those are the two methods of enforcement.
The ADA was designed to prevent discrimination against people with disabilities.
But Doucette says enforcement of the ADA comes with challenges.
Any law that has some sort of really rigorous legal process as its form of enforcement automatically builds inequity into that law.
Let's dive into more of our conversation on the ADA, enforcement, and the workplace with Leticia André-Doucette.
I'm curious, as you're talking about a way to pursue a lawsuit, sort of going back to the language of the ADA, a lot of the language we know around the disability rights are pretty vague. So, you know, things like a reasonable accommodation, an undue burden, these are not always clearly defined. Have you seen the vagueness of the wording create issues?
Well, you know, they're vague for a very kind of specific reason, right? When you talk about people with disabilities, what does that actually mean? Mm-hmm. Are you talking about a deaf person? Are you talking about a blind person? Are you talking about a wheelchair user? So because disability covers such a broad range of different types of people, when you make a policy, it has to be vague yet specific, right? And those who constructed the law weren't those who were disabled individuals. And so what these terms like undue burden, reasonable accommodation, well, reasonable to whom? And so we have kind of this conflict that goes on, and how does that get resolved? Oftentimes it doesn't, and that's why things get pushed to the lawsuit level, but also that hinders really the perception in the community because people don't like lawsuits.
When we think about businesses and employment and, you know, this 30-year time period, has the ADA changed any of the hiring discrimination that a lot of people with disabilities have faced and do face?
I think there is some data to show that there has been some sort of uptick in employment for disabled individuals, but it's not really that much. And I don't know if it's a causal relationship with the ADA. It might be more access to education, but hiring discrimination happens anyway. And you see that a lot in the language of jobs in and of itself. Like a job advertisement, people don't really think about, is that job advertisement have discriminatory language within that. That seems to be a new frontier, too.
It's interesting to hear you say that, because that really dovetails with the vagueness of reasonable to whom with regarding accommodations.
And if you don't know about disabled individuals and you don't know that, you know, sometimes it's as simple as, you know, buying a different type of desk, or what is the actual cost of putting in a ramp to your business? People tend to think that it's a lot more expensive than it really is. And sometimes it is really expensive if you're a city like ourselves in Rochester, New York, our building stock is very old. All of this is kind of, you know, in 1492 Columbus sale. You know, so if you've got that type of building, rehabbing that into a modern context is going to be extremely expensive.
you've mentioned lawsuits, and the issue of lawsuits has come up a lot. There was a bill in the House, the ADA Education and Reform Act. It makes it harder to sue businesses under the ADA. You know, when we talk about this tension, particularly around small businesses, do they consider the ADA not to be business friendly? And is there a way to have these better connections between communities and businesses, you know, in conversations around disability and around access?
I think there really is this belief that the ADA is not for a business, and that it's something that is just another hurdle and another barrier to doing what they have to do. And a lot of that ends up, one, that's an ableism thing, right? Because people with disabilities are often referred to as like special needs, and that this is something extra, not, no, these are the things that I have a civil right and a constitutional right to access my community, and that this is a community and the human thing to do. Therefore, the barrier ends up becoming the perception and the lack of supports from municipalities, by extension, the federal government, ends up harming both businesses and the disabled community.
How should we think about the future and making both the legal aspects of the ADA sort of more accessible to other people, but then, I don't know, adding on to that, changing it? Where do you see the path to go from here?
Well, I'm big on process improvement for governments. I think that's something that we should be doing and looking at ourselves critically and how we structure what it is that we do. And particularly with this law, there are some great opportunities for change. I don't want this to mean like I'm bashing the ADA all the time. I think it provides a great skeleton, but it needs to grow just like the disability rights community has grown, right? And how our society has changed.
Leticia Andre-Dissette is an innovation researcher for the City of Rochester. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. This was pretty awesome, actually.
Leticia mentioned a term, ableism, during our interview. Find out more about what it means on our website, marketplace.org. Search for Economics of Disability.